Roger Overall got me thinking a few minutes ago about something that's been bugging me for years. He brought back to me vividly an argument that I've been having with myself, first of all, and secondly, in lots of places where I've seen these words written. The words are good enough. Good enough. And Roger addressed the issue of good enough work in his podcast entitled Diary of a Visual Storyteller, the 23rd of July, 2015. Now, many years ago, when I was struggling, as just about everybody does, I reckon, to be a good parent to my first child, and wondering and feeling that, oh, this is hard, this is hard, this is complicated. There it is, if only it was me and the child, it wouldn't be half as complicated. But, of course, it's me, the mother of the child, and the child. So, being the kind of parent I wanted to be, which was a brilliant, fantastic, memorable parent who would leave a huge, positive legacy, you know, in the hands of my child, that was a complicated business. And in fact, you know, a continuously defeating or defeated business. In other words, I didn't think that I was being every day, you know, a truly brilliant parent. And then I read Donald Winnicott. In the last few minutes, in case I make a mistake, I thought perhaps it was Bruno Bettelheim from whom I got this idea, but I think it was Donald Winnicott. And Donald Winnicott wrote, among other things, he's a psychoanalyst, a British psychoanalyst of huge importance in relation to helping children and helping adults to help children. Donald Winnicott wrote that the important thing is not to be good. Is not to be good. The important thing is not to be good. Not to be a good parent. That is a... you'd be enslaved. I forget what he said. Why? He said the really important thing was to be a good enough parent. And he said, good enough is enough. So you didn't have to be a perfect parent to a child. And you couldn't be anyway. So it was inevitable that you would present the child with difficulties and challenges. And you wouldn't be able to take away all the hassle and pain that the child feels by in relation to their parent. But you could be a good enough parent and provide the child with a sufficient quality of upbringing to enable the child to grow and prosper. Well, I don't mean prosper, I mean grow and become strong. Excuse me one second now while I ask for some breakfast. Could I please have some breakfast?
I'm finished the last half hour.
Oh, you finish at 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock, yeah.
Oh, I thought you finished at half 10.
No, it's half 10 again. But
is it possible to get a cup of tea?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Take a seat on the balcony there, I'll set you up.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, just outside on the bike.
The least trouble, anything you'd have would be better than nothing.
Okay.
Thanks a million.
Take a seat or jump around.
Pardon?
Take a seat.
Outside?
Just outside the balcony, yeah.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll take a seat out there. Okay, where was I? I'm hoping to have a good enough breakfast. Yes. So Donald Winnicott said that, and I felt a huge surge of relief. It seemed to me to be a perspective that I could adopt. It was a perspective that wouldn't leave me feeling a failure. It was a perspective that would still enable me to do my best. It would call my best, and provided I was genuinely achieving a level of good enough that I wasn't saddling my child with a whole load of disabilities that they would then spend their whole life trying to overcome. That would be good enough. I could have confidence that my child would, as a result of a good enough parenting, would actually grow strong enough to deal with what was missing, what hadn't gone right. And in a sense, Donald Winnicott's idea of being a good enough parent, which I'm not explaining as well as he explained it, of course, and I strongly recommend you look up Donald Winnicott and see exactly how he put the argument in favour of being a good enough parent. I strongly advise that, in order, if you're in any way attracted by the idea, or even if you're distracted by the idea. So the point is really that the result of it on me was to give me confidence, and as a result of confidence, I certainly became more competent. Now, if I was confident that I was a good parent, I'd be more likely to be cocky. And of course, I wouldn't be a good parent if by good is meant brilliant, fantastic, extraordinary, fabulous, delightful, and reasonably close to the word perfect. So basically, I am saying that the phrase good enough came to be restored in the phrases that the mantras that helped me get through life. It was restored from something that it was when I was a child. Now, when I was a child, it was never enough to be good enough. That was like doing the minimum, barest amount you could get away with. The objective was to do excellent work, and to do work that was just good enough was, in a way, to barely achieve more than a fail. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. Oh, thank you, yes. Barely enough that was more than a fail. And of course, that would be... Just excuse me a second. Oh, no. I'm getting my breakfast delivered to me, and they haven't really delivered me a good enough serving of tea. They've left the milk behind, and everything is now restored. So I can start what I hope will be a good enough day. Now, as I was saying, when I was young, good enough was never enough, and it wasn't particularly my parents who drummed this into me, but it certainly was all my school. And it was like as if the colloquial language that I grew up with was that good enough was by definition poor. And it involved, you know, cutting corners, getting by the skin of your teeth, barely satisfying the requirements. So that's why when I read Donald Winnicott's perspective, it was radical, it was shocking, I suppose, and it was, because he presented it in such a coherent way, it offered me the opportunity to substitute good enough, to bring it into my list of helpful ways of thinking, especially as a counteracting balance to the other tendency, which I must have had a little of at the time, which was be perfect, which would mean that I wouldn't be able to hand over anything until it was absolutely perfect and met my own strict internal criteria, which were extremely strenuous, all a result of having quite a strong super ego. So there we go. Two things combining, really, spurred, stimulated by Roger Overall's podcast this morning. And, you know, I don't think my podcast can be fully understood without listening to Roger's, in the sense that my podcast is made in the context of Roger's, and there's a kind of imaginary dialogue between Roger and I going on in my head about this. I don't see there being a conflict between having the aim of being good enough and having the aim of being good. I do see a conflict between being good enough and being perfect. I, thinking this through, I think that whichever set of glasses, perspective, theoretical framework one decides to use, whether you decide that good enough is actually good enough and is something that you can be really proud of and get satisfaction from, or whether you adopt the view that the only thing that will really satisfy me is something about which I can say that's really good, whichever framework you adopt, the real test is whether it's helpful to you, not whether it's intellectually correct or otherwise. And I can happily live alongside what I assume to be the vast majority of people who regard good enough as not good enough. But I really would never have put into words and remembered Winnicott as clearly as I now feel I remember him, if it wasn't for Roger and Roger Overall and his podcast this morning. It was, if you like, a prod waiting to happen, because for years I have brooded about the distinction between good enough and good enough. So there we are. That's I'm going to go back now to my cup of tea, and I'm going to leave this hotel as quickly as possible. Bye-bye for now. Thank you very much for listening. My name is Paul Omani, and you can find me as Omani Blog on the internet. Bye-bye.